from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Jason Alexander.
Finally, I'm rolling with the kind of crowd I was born to be with.
Afternoons on the Score.
And goes left corner, Baisley, open three, way off the mark, rebound, Javonte Green, behind the ball, poked from behind and stolen by Kendrick Williams, and a three, way off the mark, offensive putback good, with a flip with the right hand by Giddey.
That's a tough one right there. Is. Great rebound by Javonte, but he brought it down around his waist.
93-85.
Thunder. What do you think of the trade? Are you happy with it? Is there anybody really happy with it other than...
Are you giddey about Giddey?
Yeah.
What a perfect Molly and Hall line right there.
And Molly's reaction.
Yeah, everything about that.
Come on, man.
That was perfect. That's a great turn of phrase by David. I liked it.
Where's the courtesy laugh? I mean, this is if we don't have each other's back in moments like this, then whose back can
we
have?
What show have you been on?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Come on now. Yeah, we were together for this trade. I don't hate the acquisition of Josh Giddey.
No, look, dude, to get rid of a 31-year-old who's about to be extension eligible for a 21-year-old former number 6 overall pick with a pile of skills is sensible when you're as bad as the Bulls. It sucks because Caruso's fun, and I wish they got draft compensation, but player for player, asset for asset, it's a worthy swap in terms of seeing what you can do.
I would have thought, and by the way, tune in starting at 6 tomorrow night for the Scores NBA Draft Special hosted by Mark Grody and Bulls radio voice Chuck Swirsky. They'll be live from the Advocate Center talking Bulls offseason, getting ready for the Bulls to make their pick at 11th overall tomorrow night at 6 on the Score and the free Odyssey app. I would have liked Giddey and a pick for Caruso. Here's the issue with the trade. If the simplest term of economics is buy low and sell high, they didn't sell at the peak of Caruso's value, and they kept him for what ended up being, and what many of us said at the time was going to be, a failed last push for playoff relevancy that meant nothing. If you would have traded Caruso at the deadline, you might not have gotten Giddey, because Giddey was on a team that was trying to win an NBA championship, but you absolutely would have gotten more because you would have had Caruso for last year's playoff run and this upcoming season.
But there's a big factor in terms of the quality of the drafts. Like, them getting another pick, like the Sacramento thing was apparently the number 13 pick in this draft. Nobody really likes this draft. So the 2024 draft versus the 2025 draft is a massive thing. We talked this a little about this with Joe Cowley on the day of the deal. Would you rather have a number 13 pick, or would you rather go ahead and get worse and have a chance to keep your pick if you can get a top 10 pick in the 2025 draft? So, like, to me, this is, they got to continue going backwards. They have to continue going backwards if that's what they're doing, and target the 2025 draft and just suck it up.
Okay, that would be great. And we're going to hear from Josh Giddey in a minute, but most plugged in person, we love Joe Cowley, but most plugged in media member to the Bulls is Casey Johnson.
Yeah, I think so.
Right? For forever, most plugged in guy to the Bulls. This is what he said about Josh Giddey on the most recent Bulls Talk podcast.
This is important to stress. I mean, Zach LaVine really fits with Josh Giddey. And you know, there is a scenario in which they try to rehab this relationship. And Zach LaVine, especially if they continue making moves where they are taking a step back. Like, let's say DeMar DeRozan now walks in free agency, or they try to work out a sign and trade, and they re-sign Patrick Williams and kind of continue this youth movement. I mean, Zach LaVine totally fits a young athletic team, or at least the Zach LaVine we saw before last season. Last season, obviously, he did not play to his standards and then had the surgery. So you just, I know everybody wants answers and immediacy in this day and age. You just got to see how it plays out. But you know, Zach is available for the right move. But, you know, like I said, there is a world in which he's back. And on paper, he really, really fits with Josh Giddey. And I think that's something to keep in mind.
But KC, what's the point in keeping him, especially if DeMar leaves and you're going to go backwards? Why would you want to win a few more games with Zach? Go ahead and take whatever you can get in trade and go ahead and suck for 2025.
I think the argument is that if you are, they didn't sell at the peak on Caruso. You certainly wouldn't be selling at the peak on LaVine. So if they think that LaVine and Giddey work well together, maybe that restores some Zach LaVine trade value, because how could it get much lower than this? My thing, though, is he being told that? Like, is that informed speculation? You know, Giddey and LaVine actually is a pretty good basketball fit, like setting up for not trading Zach LaVine. And I mean, I guess they are offensively, because Zach can shoot. Because
Zach is a volume shooter and a good shooter.
And Giddey is not a good shooter and is a very good passer.
Call me crazy. I like to have good shooters with bad shooters.
So
I do see the fit.
So I guess offensively, I guess offensively they're a pretty good fit.
They're not a good fit defensively in overall. Not at all. Not a bit.
No. They're a fit defensively if you want to be bad.
Yeah.
Like if the goal is be bad and score a lot of points and give up a lot of points but not really play winning basketball, I guess they're a good fit defensively. But I don't know that he's not Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball, good shooter, great defender, excellent passer. Giddey, excellent passer, excellent rebounder, bad shooter, bad defender.
Yeah.
Now, very young, but very raw, upside. Maybe you can develop one of those weaknesses and turn it into a league average thing or even a strength eventually. Guys improve all the time. Like, Giddey is a talent. I have no problem with that acquisition. But that is not a good defensive backcourt.
Yeah, you know, you ever try to negotiate using leverage? I know you have.
Yeah, you're kidding? Every 2 years.
Yeah, if anybody else is out there who's ever tried to negotiate, you need to have someplace else to go in order to really negotiate.
Yeah.
But in this case, I'm wondering if the floating, the trial balloon of, you know, Bulls might keep him is like a mild, like, it's okay to have that out there when you're definitely looking to trade him.
And he says, like, they're trying to trade him,
yeah,
you know, or that he's available for the right price, but they're, sure, not just going to give him away.
But what I'm saying is, like, I've already seen that KC report linked in a whole bunch of other news stories,
yeah,
today.
Of
like, well, but the Bulls might actually keep him. What do we think of this, sports fans?
Listen, I'm the last guy in the world, apparently, who believes that Zach LaVine can be a good player on a good team. But I think,
yeah, you're certainly the only one here.
I think I'm the only one left. But I don't think that team is this team.
And I think it makes sense to keep trying.
Well, but right. That's why I understand. But what I'm saying is, it feels like that report was, you know, they could play well together, and we don't want to take 20 cents on the dollar. And so if we let some other guys go, we still would be getting younger and more athletic, and we still would be getting worse, and maybe we could rehab some of the trade value of Zach LaVine. And instead of trading him for 20 cents on the dollar, we could trade him for 50 or 60 cents on the dollar.
I really want him to have played his last game here.
I know you do.
And a lot of folks are. And all the talk about how both sides are motivated to try and make something happen here, and like AK admitting that it hasn't worked, that this mix doesn't work at the end of the season, and now here we are with the Caruso deal. I don't think you make the Caruso deal with an eye towards keeping Zach. I don't see it. So I feel like Casey's putting it out there. He's just floating the idea. And if it is informed, to your point, then maybe it's to help with leverage a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's younger than DeMar, though. Like, so when Casey says that, they could let DeMar go, and that would be the way of getting worse, instead of getting rid of Zach to get worse, because they were plenty bad last year without Zach. Mm-hmm. Let's hear from Josh Giddey, though.
Yeah.
Let's hear from the new guy.
All right. Let's hear from him, because I was looking at I wanted to see if his teammates, you know, were wishing him well, and I saw that report that they were. A lot of the old OKC teammates Both Jalen Williams's or both Jalen's Williams, if yeah. that's how we're supposed to say it, since they have two of them.
That's how you can say it.
Yeah, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren, everybody like, oh, Josh, good luck, man. We love you, man. So it's like, it wasn't that it was an ugly situation there. He just fell out of the rotation because he can't shoot.
And here is Josh Giddey on his old home with Sam Presti, best executive in the NBA, the exit, and how he sees the Bulls and Thunder comparing to each other.
Sam Presti offered pretty specific detail in his statement announcing the trade, saying that he held some conversations with you about a reserve role that you didn't show much interest in and professionally conveyed your desire to maybe seek opportunities elsewhere. That leads to the obvious follow-up question, which is, in your initial dealings with the Bulls, have you been given any indications or assurances that you'll be the starting point guard next season?
Yeah, I mean, in regards to Sam's comments, I mean, it's pretty accurate. We spoke a lot throughout the offseason and even in our exit interviews. And I've had a great relationship with Sam throughout my entire time in Oklahoma. And the one thing about him that I really respect is his transparency. And he's very open and honest with players and especially with me throughout this whole process. And obviously, I came off a tough year. My role shifted a little bit. I was playing a lot more, off ball and kind of in a different role to what I've ever done in my career. So there was no secrets that it was going to take some kind of flexibility on my part to, fit in with the team that we had and the structure that we had and the type of players that we had. So, and he spoke about to me about, looking at potentially different roles, coming off the bench, running the second unit, things like that. And I just said to him, like, at this point in my career, I'm 21 years old. It wasn't something that, I was overly eager to do. And he completely understood. And just throughout the whole process, we were open and honest with each other. And I said to him, look, coming off the bench at this point in my career, it's not something, I'm trying to do and take a reserve role. But he got it. We worked together through the whole process. And he got me to a great spot. I'm very, very excited to be here in Chicago. And all first impressions have been unbelievable. The people have been great. And I feel, very welcomed here.
So just quickly following up, Josh, have the Bulls given you any indications or assurances you'll be the starting point guard next season?
No, I mean, we haven't spoke about roles and things like that as of yet. I've had a lot of, I've met with Billy a bunch of times already. He's been unbelievable in the conversations we've had. But I understand that the team that's here, there's a lot of good guards, Io, Kobe, Dalen. They got a lot of guys that can handle the rock. So I think it'll make for, the competition that we'll have throughout training camp and things like that to push each other, be better. Is going to be great. And, we'll see what happens, when the season rolls around.
I have two questions for you, actually. One about you and one about OKC and the Thunder. The first is about you and your game. When Presti released that statement, he had high praise saying that, you had all-star potential. What do you feel like you need to do to tap into that and get to that level?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I thank Sam for those comments. He's a as I said, I speak very highly of him, great person. But in regards to that, I think it was going to be hard to tap into my full potential, in my opinion, in a team like that, where there was just so many talented guys who needed the ball in their hands, who were great with the ball in their hands. And a change of scenery was probably going to maybe unlock more of that for me. But I think, as I said, just being able to make the game easy for everybody, being able to get guys involved, distribute the ball, and get other players confident around me is kind of the thing I pride myself on doing. It's hard to do that in a role where the ball's not in your hands a lot and you're screening, you're doing different things. So, for me, as I said, that's probably the big thing coming in here. I want to, be the pass first point guard that I am and help teammates, generate easy looks and get them feeling good right from the get-go.
He's going to be the starting point guard. He has to be. They're going to have to pay him. He's 21 years old. You gave up one of your most valuable, if not your most valuable, asset to acquire him. And I know I have a pretty large affinity for Sam Presti and his basketball mind after doing all of this reporting for the book, but he drafted him 6th overall, and in shipping him out, he said he can absolutely be an all-star in this league. He has no reason to say that.
And he wasn't going to start, and he's come someplace that needs players. Yeah, no, he's definitely going to start.
He's like not starting behind Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's one thing.
It's one thing. not starting behind
Io DeSumo
or Dalen Terry.
That was sweet of him to drop a Dalen Terry.
That was very nice of him.
That literally stopped me cold.
That was very nice. That's something entirely different.
Like, you know, Julian Phillips. Like, what are we doing here?
He's your starting point guard. And if he's not your starting point guard, then there is no reason for anyone to support this trade. He has to be your starting point guard.
Yeah.
He is your starting point guard.
And he's a 6'8 guy who can really, really pass.
And rebound.
And rebound.
He's big and young.
Yeah, he is. He is. He doesn't have a lot of physicality as he attacks. When he's driving, he kind of settles for floaters instead of finishing at the rim, which can be frustrating. But look, it's going to be very clear what kind of players he needs around him. Players who can shoot and players who can play defense. So, look, I'd like to see him and Kobe White as your starting backcourt. I'd like to see Io get plenty of time in sort of a three-guard look. I'd like to see your guy Patrick Williams get re-signed and given a chance to be here and move on. I do not look forward to Nikola Vucevic as a pairing with Josh Giddey.
Well, get ready. get ready.
I mean, if he's a bad defender at the point guard, it'd be nice to have a rim protector behind that.
Yeah.
That's not going to be happening. But, you know, Vooch can shoot, so you've got that. Can he shoot?
Well, not as
Vooch
well.
Vooch likes to shoot.
Here's Giddey on how he sees himself fitting in with the Bulls.
Not to have you play general manager your first day talking to us, but have there been any indication of, you know, you're the first piece of these changes that they've talked about? I mean, obviously they got the draft tomorrow, and so there could be a piece added there, but did you ask, like, well, is this like the personnel, or is this the group we're working with? Who am I competing against? I mean, obviously Lonzo Ball is still kind of out there and we don't know his future. I mean, have you asked those kind of questions, or have you been told, hey, we are changing this thing, stay patient?
No, I haven't asked. I've just, you know, kind of focused on, you know, getting here, getting acclimated to the new surroundings. But no, I haven't asked. I understand the draft's in a couple of nights, so you do get players through that, but in terms of what direction the franchise is going, I haven't asked any questions. I've just kind of bought into whatever happens here, happens, and I'll try my play my part in helping our team be as good as we can be right from the jump.
And then one more thing off of what you said, you talked about last year, it was a tough year for you. I mean, the obvious question is going to be, was all the stuff that happened off the court, did that carry on the court? Did you think that kind of played into it, or was it more of a personnel change where the Thunder were going and your fit was just different than it had been the previous 2 years?
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of things that go into an NBA season. There's a lot of distractions, whether it's outside noise, whether it's internal change. And I think for me, a lot of it came internally. A lot of it came more with how good our team got and how much we evolved as a group. And my role kind of, I don't want to say diminished, but it kind of was different to the first 2 years I had.
Right.
So it was a big adjustment for me, learning to play off the ball. Obviously, got guarded a lot differently just with the lineup that we had. And obviously, you know, with guys like Chet coming in, it forced their centers to make adjustments. So a lot of it was, you know, basketball related, for me, at least. That's the way I felt. But as I said, it was more a credit to our team than anything. We just got good quickly. And, you know, those kind of things happen. And, you know, my role changed a little bit. And it was just a year of adjusting and learning different things.
I got one off the court, one on the court. As far as off the court, obviously, it's pretty well documented that you had an off the court issue last season that was investigated by both Newport Beach Police and the NBA. They both closed their investigations with no further action. I know you probably can't speak about specifics from a legal perspective, but just from a personal perspective, how trying was that for you, and what did you kind of take from that experience that maybe you can move forward with your career?
Yeah. Completely understand the question, and I know you've got to ask, part of your job, but I'm not going to comment on anything regarding that situation.
We've talked a little bit about the Bulls and kind of how it pertains to you, but what's kind of your perception of the Bulls having played against them the last few seasons, particularly some of the personnel on the roster, that like Kobe White, Zach LaVine? I mean, DeMar's future is uncertain. I mean, you can take it wherever you want, kind of your impressions of the personnel on the roster.
Yeah, great team. I mean, very talented team, kind of, you know, top to bottom.
Nope.
And they got a lot of guys that can, you know, obviously Zach DeMar, Kobe was awesome, you know, really emerged last year, Pat Williams. So they got a lot of, and then the young guys, Io, Dalen, they got a lot of talent on this team. And And as I said, I'm looking forward to just coming, trying to immerse myself in it, and not take away from anybody, but just help this team continue to grow and get better. But yeah, the impressions, we only play them obviously twice a year, being a Western Conference team, but very competitive team. And one of my favorite things that I'm most excited about was playing in United Center in front of the fans. Every time I've been to Chicago to play here, the fans have been unbelievable. It's a packed house every time, regardless of what day of the week it is. So the fans, and I know they're passionate. This club's obviously got a lot of history, but that's one of the things I'm most excited for, is getting to United Center and playing in front of these great fans.
Well, that part is true. There are always a lot of people there, no matter the day of the week, and there is a lot of great history. The problem is it is slowly becoming ancient history.
You know what's a great night at the United Center? Meatball sandwich night.
All right.
Man, it's so good when they're coming around with meatball sandwiches.
Yeah. Don't make the noise.
I don't have to. It's locked in.
Stop.
Need a seal here and a seal there and a seal here. But yeah, so we've got Australians. We've got Torrey Taylor as a punter.
Yeah.
We've got Josh Giddey as a basketball player.
We used to have Liam Hendricks.
We used to have Liam Hendricks. If we had three, were we like going to be leading the USA in Australian professional players and team sports? Come on, Danny.
I don't know.
You're doing TV these days?
I am doing TV these days.
There's an extra level of prep, and you have your own producer when you do that, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, absolutely. Peter Hansen. Peter, can you please cross-reference all leagues and sports with Australian professional athletes and see how Chicago's doing, okay?
That's a worthwhile
right now.
All right,
that's a worthwhile use of time.
How's my Wikipedia page coming along, by the way?
I'll get to it later.
Oh. Wait, what happened?
He was saying that he was going to edit my Wikipedia page, to edit my college awards.
The one that you created for yourself?
I did not create it for myself. I might have helped with some of the content.
You know who created your Wikipedia page.
They got in touch and they said, "You want to do something with this?" And I said, "Okay, fine."
Yeah. And you're like, "Oh, okay, fine.
All right, fine.
I'll have a Wikipedia page that makes me look impressive and be a public figure."
It's a little too much detail.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, no. I
seemed a good idea at the time.
I still don't have one.
Well,
it would be a real shame, Peter, if people started editing Matt Spiegel's Wikipedia page.
Peter,
that's not what you guys should do.
Change your focus. Forget editing mine. Create one for Danny and just have fun with it. You know, just roll. Any good ideas you might have, ask Shane for ideas. He's full of stuff like that.
See, that's a big project, though. I'm saying the listeners could just go to Matt Spiegel's Wikipedia page right now and just change some stuff.
I don't think that's a nice offer.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
It's Danny.
Wow, look at you, though. You're in the bio. He also serves as a fill-in broadcaster on the Chicago Cubs radio network.
See, I didn't do that. Somebody did that. I didn't do that, sir.
Speaks.
I did not.
Nope. Speaks.
Hey, I didn't.
Hey, come on.
I didn't do that.
Anyone believe that?
Somebody else, they can edit. Other people can edit once it's up there.
Christine, you paid someone else to do that?
Would I really have to pay my wife? Really?
I don't know.
My personal manager? Stylist?
I'm just
my part-time life coach?
Part-time.
All right, I'm more of a full-time.
Lie detector test determined that was a lie.
Uh-huh. Hey, what is he doing?
Your Wikipedia page is plentiful right here. You got Pipeline to the Pros on there. You got First Things First. And, oh, there's something about the volume in there. Big things coming.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
I really didn't know that I had a Wikipedia.
You do?
No, but at the top, I'm not linked to having one.
Well, you are. I think, you know, Christine did a nice job doing yours too.
Wow.
Unless Peter did it that fast.
How about that?
It might be possible.
Yeah, good job. Good job, Peter. That was a remarkably quick turnaround. Yes, there has been something pulled from one of my TV appearances that we can get to. Jeremy Roenick made it into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
That's cool.
Which is very cool. That just broke in the last...
Yeah, congratulations!
20 minutes. We're excited about that. We got a call into him to see if he wants to come on and take a victory lap. And Jason Benetti will join us at 4 o'clock. It's Parkinson Spiegel.
Hey, everybody, we are live!
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're having a little fun.
Live from New York, it's the show that's wondering if Aaron Rodgers and Kevin Wilds are actually on vacation together. It's First Things First. I am Nick Wright, in for Kevin Wilds, but I'm also always here. Danny Parkins is here as well. Chris Broussard, Danny, great job this week. Brew, great job as always.
You could have had the food and beverage job without going on television. You wanted to go on TV.
Yeah, I did want to go on TV. That way I have a forum. I can fight back. I'm known. People see me. Well, that's right.
You're making a big spectacle of yourself.
Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged.
I mean, that's kind of the whole idea.
Yeah,
you know?
On TV, it's all one big spectacle.
Oh, one big spectacle.
Makeup and suits and microphones and high definition and all sorts of things.
Yeah, they don't have me. Nobody even asks about makeup when you work local these days, you know?
I know.
Fox TV, Sunday night, me and Cassie and Lou hanging out. Nobody's got makeup. There's no graphics that I'm hip to. You, my friend, swimming with big, big fish.
I gotta say, things are going well. Yeah, things are going well. It's been very fun last month and a half or so, getting a few opportunities to go out to New York, do the national TV thing with my buddy Nick on First Things First.
That's
Fox
the thing.
Sports 1.
It's with your pal. Like, who among us wasn't in college with some friends and been like, you know, one day you and I, we're going to take over the world. Let's do it. You and me, we're going to run radio stations. So we're gonna be in the mob and we're going to be gangsters, whatever.
This is very much not taking over the world, but it is. New York City and, television and sports takes.
Doing TV together.
It's a lot of fun.
You guys smoked weed on set yet?
Oh, I'm glad you got there, Speaks. We didn't talk about this. I mean, if you guys are among friends, could someone please explain ayahuasca to Chris Broussard, for God's sake?
Jesus.
Danny Parkins is here with us. Welcome, Danny. We don't know where Aaron Rodgers is, unless you do.
I don't.
Okay. Over the world.
We haven't.
But he played 4 snaps last year, and they won 7 games. Like, whatever we... Hold on, though.
That's
whatever
the worst
we,
argument.
I'm with you. Well,
go ahead. I'll let you finish.
That's whatever we think of ayahuasca and darkness retreats and the weirdness of Aaron Rodgers.
But we think it's illegal. That's what we think.
Well, he's better than Trevor Siemian.
The worst thing is this took place after he went to smoke ayahuasca or whatever it is you do with it.
Brew is a very he's a God-fearing man. He is very straight-edged, and he really hates drugs. He really hates recreational drugs. It's more of a drink than a smoke.
It is. It's a beverage. Yeah. It is a beverage. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if Chris Broussard wants to smoke it, I'm not going to stand in his way.
Yeah, that was a great moment. He's so kind and welcoming, but he's just so out on Rodgers because of the mind-altering experiences.
I mean, is it illegal? Really? I don't believe it's illegal. Is it?
I don't think you can drive on it.
Well, yeah, but it's not like, you know, it's not really available unless you go down to South America. I mean, is there local ayahuasca distributors?
Peter,
could you get up, man, please?
That's a good idea.
Next internship project?
No,
if you're not busy,
all the other
this
ones.
One.
We need to find an ayahuasca dispensary here in Chicago.
Yeah,
so Danny can stock up for his next trip to hang out with Brew.
We need a retreat. I don't think you get a shaman, but you know what I mean. You get someone who leads you on your journey.
Remember, folks, if you do get a shaman, don't squeeze the shaman. Whatever you do, just do not do that, okay?
Yeah, no problem. So, yeah.
That deserved a rim shot, but that's okay.
Chuck is my guy.
Yeah, so it was.
I do it for you, Chuck.
So that happened.
But there's another thing here, too, before we get to the third thing here that's really going to crush our listener base here. How offended were you when Nick did not have the utmost faith that you could do a job on that show?
I give the audience my word. I have not talked to LeBron, anyone in his camp about this. I am simply saying, just logically speaking, there are plenty of people adore or would adore working with that if they were like, hey, we need a new showrunner for First Things First. What about Danny? I might be like, hey, love him on the show. Love him as a guy. Think we could maybe get someone with a little more experience at it. So the reason I'm saying that is this idea that they are doing this to appease LeBron assumes this is what LeBron wants.
Yeah.
Not going to get hired to be showrunner.
That's okay. So it's not an on-camera job. You know what I mean? Not enough fame and glory.
I don't think you make yourself enough of a spectacle showrunner.
Exactly. Not enough fame. But it did hurt, Tanny, to answer your question directly, that Nick thought there was a media job out there that I couldn't do. Yeah, it hurt a little bit. And he chose to break that news to me live on TV. That was messed up. But occasionally, the Bears go, you know, in between talking about Dak, it was very funny. This was a good national TV moment. Because on the show call, Nick was like, hey, that moment with Reggie Jackson was so powerful. We've never aired a sound clip 3 minutes in the entirety of this show. I've been doing it for 7 years. We should air it. And I was like, that's amazing. And so we're like, we're going to do it. We did like a 9-10 minute segment talking about Reggie Jackson. And I think it was very well done. The segment before it and after it were about Dak Prescott.
We got to counterbalance that stuff.
Very funny.
Look, if mom makes you lima beans, I'm going to need some mac and cheese with that.
You liked it. They did talk baseball. Oh, Dak's in a Yankees jersey. Oh, good baseball.
That is what it was. We ended the show. It's like a 90-second kicker to end the show. I'm like, Dak in a Yankees jersey. Is that fueling New York rumors? Yes, exactly. But occasionally the Bears come up on national TV.
More likely, Caleb Williams is the best or the worst quarterback in a division that currently has Sam Darnold as a starting quarterback.
It's not likely. It's a good division. But it is more likely that he's the best than the worst because it's off the board that he's going to be the worst. So like Jared, so Jared Goff, the last 2 years has been very good. Back-to-back 4,400-yard seasons, 29 touchdowns, 30 touchdowns. But we've seen Jared Goff have big regression before.
We've seen Goff be awful.
And if they have a few injuries to their offensive line, his numbers plummet if he's under pressure. So in a less than ideal situation, obviously Goff can regress. Jordan Love last year, 4,200 yards, 31 touchdowns, was excellent. But it's a small sample. They're very young. Obviously, he could
regress. Also, you can keep going. Just show my Jordan Love graphic while Danny keeps going. Jordan Love, it was really not a great season. It was a brilliant second half of a season.
But so brilliant that overall
ascending
the stats
is what I said.
I understand.
Yeah, he's not going to be the worst. The question was, is he going to be the best or the worst quarterback in the division?
And worst is off the table.
And I said worst is off the table for Caleb Williams.
Oh, man, it's nice.
Oh, no.
No. Oh, you're thinking the mush happened right there?
Well, there is a certain Bears fan contingent. I'm not saying I'm in this group, but there are some folks who believe that Caleb Williams will never be good because Danny was the guy who claimed him.
Yeah.
The only one.
Yeah, the only one.
Hey, that logic only checks out with like somewhere between 10 and 50 different athletes of consequence.
Right, and I feel good because usually Danny's quarterback. Wow, Daddy. Happy birthday, Daddy. Usually Danny's quarterback acumen is pretty good.
QB1 party. The Bears have themselves a quarterback. I think sucks is back on the table for Jordan Love. Okay. Got a few high-profile things wrong. That's fair.
But wait a minute. The division includes the Vikings. Who are we talking about? Sam Darnold?
Or J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah.
It's
off the table.
The 10th
overall pick throwing to Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, and T.J. Hockenson could possibly be better than Caleb. It's off the table. I said it on national TV, so therefore it has to be true.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I guess it's possible.
Thank you.
I'm 37 years old, well-educated.
Yeah.
Hey. That's an unfair place to clip that.
That's not what I do. Don't accuse me of that. I don't play things out of context.
Surprised you would lead with that. That was the beginning of the first show, right? Hi, everybody.
Who is this guy?
I'm 37 years old and well-educated. How you doing?
Live from New York, it's the show that's wondering if Aaron Rodgers and Kevin Wilds are actually on vacation together. It's First Things First. I am Nick Wright. In for Kevin Wilds, but I'm also always here. Danny Parkins is here.
I'm 37 years old, well-educated.
That's weird lead. It's just a weird lead. You're trying to compensate for something.
That's not what happened.
I mean, I know you're no Broussard, but at least you know you drink that.
Yeah.
You don't smoke
I don't really
it.
Want to correct him too much about mind-altering substances on his own show.
Bro, let's talk ayahuasca at the break, you and me.
We did. We talked about it during the break.
Then you're serving your purpose.
I was being respectful and waited for the red light to go off. Speaking of TV, we are going to get to watch the not worst quarterback in the NFL sooner than a lot of other people will. We'll do that before Jason Benetti next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Are you guys grinding or are you guys having fun?
Afternoons on The Score.
Hard Knocks.
You You know, it's always football season. It's a year-round obsession in this country.
Man, after two tough losses yesterday, I'm wearing a football shirt. I'm wearing a Walter Payton shirt. Let's go. I'm ready.
When I was thinking about it, Bears fans actually get to feel like football season starts earlier. That's what Hard Knocks is. It's like, oh, I love football so much that when Hard Knocks comes back, I'll watch a television show about training camp for a team that I don't root for just because it feels like football. Well, now it's a team we root for.
Man, as starved as this town is every single day for Bears content and conversation and angles and inside stuff, I can't imagine how feverish this audience is going to be for Hard Knocks. It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be obviously appointment television, and like there have been times where we discuss TV shows, and sometimes we wait. You know, let's wait a day or two, make sure everybody has caught up and seen it.
No, not this one. This is gonna lead Wednesday's show in August for four consecutive weeks. Maybe it shares the lead with a Cubs game if they're in it and relevant. But
no.
Yeah, it feels pretty safe to say.
You take that back, Stoney.
That four consecutive Wednesdays in August, Hard Knocks is going to be the lead on a Wednesday on this show because of something that came out Tuesday. And the first episode is right around the corner, Tuesday, August 6th, right there on Max.
Yeah, Max, that's the place for HBO, I was told. So, yeah, I mean, look, and we don't know who the breakout star is going to be. It's been fun to think about, and as we get deeper into the summer and we think about some of the people that are there, like we all have our ideas. I continue to think that the owner himself, George McCaskey, on a scooter, maybe even as an umpire in a suburban rec league softball game, like that's going to get some traction. How often can you have an owner who's kind of wacky and fun like that?
I'd be surprised if the Bears, who were kind of against Hard Knocks for forever, all of a sudden did the complete 180 and now are giving access to George McCaskey's private time and his hobbies like that. But we'll get the inside story on Kevin Warren that we've had a bunch of other times. But it's going to be Caleb, man. They're the perfect Hard Knocks team. They have expectations. They're on the come. They have players that people around the league know but don't know that well. Like, people know who DJ Moore is, but you don't know him that well. Mm. People know who Keenan Allen is, but you don't know him that well.
Those guys in Rome Odunze, give me as much as you can on the wide receiver mix.
And then everybody has had an opinion on Caleb Williams, but it's the perfect Hard Knocks team. They're good, but not great. The expectations are high, but not ridiculous. They're unknown, but they got star power attached to it. It's a very good Hard Knocks team.
This is the first time that I've wished that Mike Glennon is still on the Bears, just so I could hear Liv Schreiber talk about him. Because there are very specific things, you know, like there's a giraffe. There's Merton Hanks, you know?
Mike Glennon has been battling all camp to secure the backup quarterback job. Right now, he's ahead by a neck.
Hard Knocks.
Yeah, we get Floose pronouncing Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
Floose is box office, man. He's so coachy. And with the good beard right now, he's gonna be exactly what, you know, the middle-aged women of America are looking for. Like that guy right there.
He has silly nicknames for players that don't make any sense.
Dragon Slayer. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Why is it that the Dragon Slayer is the only one that I remember, too?
Because
they were all so ridiculous.
They were all ridiculous.
And Dragon Slayer was Jalen. I know that. But, like, they were just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be great.
He'll be great. And, like,
but
So August, it's going to be appointment television.
Hey, Governor. Let's go, man.
Governor? You had Dave Kerner out there? Man. I didn't realize that. Hope Dave Kerner's enjoying retirement. Retired from WBBM.
Richard Hightower. Yeah. H-Mac.
Oh, H-Mac.
On Hard Knocks.
H-T-H-Mac. Hey, Governor. That's amazing. Or was that J.B. Pritzker? Was he lining up at a tackle eligible or something like that?
Yeah, it's possible. He's the swing tackle for the Bears.
Hey, Dino Dex, let's go, man.
Dino Dex.
That's Peter Hansen. That's who he's talking about right there.
That's a surprising twist.
Yeah.
I didn't think that.
That our intern is actually Dino Dex.
Well, and this is the game within the game. Who's going to be the media star? Is there a confrontational question from Jason Leisure? Is there a moment of awkwardness from Mark Potash? Does Mark Carman make an appearance trying to get a laugh? Will Mark Grody be talking to Tevin Jenkins about something oddly personal?
Oh, man, it's such a good question.
You know what I mean? There's going to be...
It should be Potsy's moment. I would love to see...
If Mark Potash became became a meme.
Yeah. if HBO's time. Like, who is this guy? This is Central Casting Chicago media person who's talking about, this is the way that McMahon did it. I mean, I remember, that guy.
I've seen 62 quarterback of this here Chicago Bear.
That would be so great. And a willingness to ask the uncomfortable questions and lean in.
He's known as Potsy. But these aren't happy days in the Bears media room.
Yes. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
Danny, that's so money.
The possibilities are endless, man. This is going to be great content.
And this is one writer who doesn't see covering the Bears as a leisure activity. That's right.
It's really good. It's really good.
And we'll just send him to live. Lev? Leave?
Live golf?
Lev? I don't know.
Yeah, no. No. The better part is we can just watch it on Max.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah. 8 o'clock on Wednesdays.
That'll work.
Coming in August. Hey, Jason Benetti was broadcasting White Sox games recently.
He was.
He sounded really good.
He did. And Friday night with just a brutal end to the latest White Sox embarrassing loss, that one. And Benetti had some plates to spin as he dealt with that, and I thought he nailed it completely.
So we'll catch up with him. Any excuse to talk to Jason Benetti next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.